The application is related to permits for arms exports to the United States. And the core provision that is at issue here is Section 14.3A of the National Convention on Arms Control Act. That's a provision that imposes a clear obligation on the NCACC, like you said. The NCACC is the National Conventional Arms Control Committee. That's the committee who decides which arms export arms company gets a permit to export and sell arms from South Africa to anywhere in the country. So under that provision of under the Act, the NCACC has a clear obligation to cancel, amend, or suspend a permit where doing so is in the interest of maintaining and promoting international peace. This is not like something permissive or discretionary. It's a legal duty of the committee. That means also that if we have, for instance, a state that constitutes a threat to international peace based on various and numerous violations of international law, that such exports to that country couldn't be or cannot be in the interest of promoting and maintaining international peace. That means also that if we have a state like that, that the obligation of the NCACC to suspend or cancel should be triggered immediately. So our case argues that the NCACC failed to discharge that obligation, even after publicly available information showing the various violations of international law, and I'm happy to go into them, the violations of international law that are part of our application. And the application further shows that there is no exception for more powerful states or strategic partners, and that we say that the law must apply equally. And in this case, that's a cornerstone of the application.
Now, was this, Dr. Attila, was only for 2025, or are we looking at previous years as well?
We are looking at current permits. So we are looking at the permits that are valid and active right now. We are specifically, without going into too much technicalities, what we call contract and export permits. Those are the two important permits that an arms company needs to export goods from South Africa to another country. So we are the application is directed at any active permit that can be used to export arms to the US.
So essentially now, with the Southern Africa Litigation Center announcing in your press release that you have submitted an application to the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria, this will now essentially become public knowledge, because how many South Africans actually knew about this?
Unfortunately, not enough South Africans. So that's also why we decided to make this case public, and also to bring in the public in our confidence what we believe is an obligation that the NCACC failed to exercise. And in that regard, like I said, in the application, we go through different situations throughout from the last 15 months since the beginning of January 2025 in order to make our case that the U.S. in this matter has conducted multiple violations of international law and is what we call a threat to international peace and security.
Now, what evidence led the SALC to conclude that the permits may be inconsistent with domestic legislation? What is the evidence, and how does it tie up to our domestic legislation?
Sure. So our case is grounded in and shows a pattern of the escalating violations of international law and conduct by the U.S. over, like I said, a period of 15 months. And we are not only focusing on one single isolated incident. However, we are illustrating in the example of four situations that the U.S. constitutes a threat to international peace. The first one is, for instance, beginning in January 2025, when the US president, immediately after taking office, made the decision to lift the hold on arms exports to Israel, which included arms exports from the US to Israel, which included those 2,000 pound bombs that were used in Gaza. And whilst knowing what is happening in Gaza, the second situation that we are highlighting are the June 2025 attacks by US and Israel launched against Iran and Iranian nuclear facilities. Those kind of attacks have been condemned by UN experts as unlawful and violations of the prohibition on the use of force, meaning the UN Charter, and have been declared as acts of aggression. And other acts of aggression and violations of the UN Charter, as we show in our application, is from January this year, where US forces conducted the unilateral military operation in Venezuela, capturing President Maduro and his wife, which is again a clear violation of the UN Charter. And last but not least, we are highlighting the situation starting from February 28th this year, where the US and Israel launched large-scale attacks against Iran, which ultimately culminated in a situation that on the same day was declared by UN Secretary General as a serious threat to international peace and security, and also by President Ramaphosa as a serious threat to international peace and security. So it's not only our legal assessment that we in, but it's also the legal assessment from state officials, UN mandate holders, and UN experts that we have all culminated in this application.
Dr. Attila, this again, I mean, we've had this similar discussion with a couple of other guests in the last 2-3 weeks. Your latest matter that you application you've taken to the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria, many South Africans who will now come across this information, this will definitely get public discourse and public involvement to increase. But it comes across as double standard. South Africa has taken apartheid Israel to the ICJ with the case of genocide, etc. Then in the same breath, in 2025, we've literally allowed these arms export permits issued by South Africa to the United States. So it does come across as double standards.
Certainly, and certainly there's a political dimension to this entire case. However, our focus is a legal one, and our focus is to uphold the rule of law, and existing domestic law and international law must be implemented, even if it's like uncomfortable given the importing state that we are talking about. So I think the general question here is like whether or why South Africa would export arms to a country that has been condemned by international experts for violating the UN Charter and committing acts of aggression. What we have seen over the past months, a state that's not only accused of committing international crimes, but that uses threats of war crimes and genocides as a means of policy. So I think to describe this, and this is, I think, also a position that Dirko has taken, and the Director General more recently in an interview, where he's saying that this is not just about the politics between states, but it's about what's right and wrong. And if we have a state that's breaches international law continuously, then we are all at risk. I'm paraphrasing here from that interview. So I think that is quite right, that we are all at risk if we allow these more powerful states do as they please.
I think, Dr. Attila, just two things as we wrap up in the next couple of minutes. What outcomes are you hoping to achieve beyond the suspension of the current permits? And two, is it possible for us to see the suspension of the current permits? Because that would definitely have ramifications. And surely there has to be some sort of reforms that you would like to see in South Africa's arms export approval process. Otherwise, this will then just continue happening, isn't it?
Sure, and that's one of the key issues here, even going even beyond this application. So our primary ask for in this application is, of course, the suspension or cancellation of all those, like I said, export and contract permits that facilitate arms exports from South Africa to the US. And in that regard, we are not specifying on like or focusing on specific type of weapons or a category of weapons, because the National Convention on Arms Control Act also does not make that kind of specification. What we want to see is that the courts establish that South Africa's arms control legal framework is not just like some toothless egg, but a piece of legislation that has like serious implications and duties for the authorities that are part of this permit regime, the authorities like the NCACC. So on that level, this is not only about permits to in relation to one country only, but it's also a matter of rule of law.
Let's leave it on that note, Dr. Attila Kistler, International Justice Cluster Lead, Southern Africa Litigation Center. Thanks so much for your time, Doc.
Thank you so much. Bye.